हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सनि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anta Lila, Chapter 6, The Meeting of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that people who are under the bodily conception of life are called materialists. We accept the offerings of such people, If we accept the offerings of such people, place them before the Lord, and invite Vaishnavas to partake of the prasadam, that attempt will gain us only a material reputation, not the actual benefit of service to a pure Vaishnava. One should therefore try to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead by fully surrendering at his lotus feet. If one engages for the service of the Lord, whatever money one has honestly earned, that is spiritual service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Srila Swarup Damodar continued. Conveying Srila Raghunath Das's thoughts, at my request, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts the invitations because he knows that a foolish person like me would be unhappy if he did not accept them. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that people who are advanced in learning but attached to material enjoyment, who are puffed up by material possessions, by birth in an elevated aristocratic family, or by education, may offer show-bottle devotional service to the deity and also offer prasadam to Vaishnavas. Because of their ignorance, however, they cannot understand that since their minds are materially polluted, neither the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, nor the Vaishnavas accept their offerings. If one accepts money from such materialistic persons to offer food to the deity and Vaishnavas, a pure Vaishnava does not accept it. This causes unhappiness for the materialists because they are fully absorbed in the bodily conception of life. Therefore, they sometimes turn against the Vaishnavas. As if the idea was as they are trying to render service and it's not accepted, then they would think, well, what to do to qualify oneself or to be accepted by the Vaishnava. But since that's not actually the motive, it is the material platform of recognition in that, then we see is that they become upset and so then they may turn against the Vaishnavas.
Mara, you see two things here. One is a question. Is it possible for a devotee to engage a materialistic person's donation or whatever they give and to engage and purify their intention by referring it to Krishna? There's something people would give donation to the material body, but still, it's accepted because it's purified in the service to Krishna. And then on the other hand, you've got people who come forward in Krishna consciousness with a material motive to be accepted without thinking of the purificatory process of the intention to become pure. I remember a long, long time ago when some of the shopkeepers in Lloyd Bazaar wanted to take initiation from one of the Zoroacharyas because they knew that if they become his disciple, they'll get many customers. never got initiated, and they never got customers. So,
in this kind of doesn't work.
Huh?
I'm saying in this kind it just doesn't work.
So, is it possible for a devotee? The devotee knows you're naturally motivated, but I'll offer your fruit to Krishna so that we'll be purified and you'll be purified. Okay. And in this way, perhaps avoid the person to retaliate.
Mm-hmm. So, it's like we were discussing before in the Pancharatri process, then when things are offered to the deities by the devotees, then not only the person who's making the offering, anybody who's been, you know, taking part in that offering, and anybody, if someone gave a donation for that offering, or even the living entities that the ingredients for the offering came from,
yes,
all get benefit. Right? So that you don't have to worry about. What we see in here is that in this discussion, since Raghunath Das is also known as the, you know, Prayojana Acharya, then what is the question here? Right? The question is, he's thinking about his own mentality.
Mm.
So in other words, for the materialist, there's no question Krishna will accept it. You know what I'm saying? The materialist comes to that. It's because the devotee is accepting an offering to the Lord. Then there's the Lord is accepting. But the point is, it has to be pointed out that the materialistic mentality has no attraction to Krishna, because the point is he's the Lord of Lakshmi. So, you know, what is your small donation going to do? You know? So it's not that, you know, because they think, oh, I'm giving such a big donation, I should have this or that, or be well respected. Or so Krishna doesn't accept from there. But if somehow or another someone can engage the person,
right,
that's another thing. But if they have this mentality, then why would someone want to accept that from them?
Right.
You know, so therefore there has to be some way that you're dealing it to try to attract their attention and try to, you know, change the mentality. Since it is the nature of all living entities to move up in their advancement. Because in here, then, you're talking about those who are karmis. So they're following Varnashram. And in this case, they're talking here, they're very religious. And so they want to, for them, worship the Lord, worship the Vaishnavas and all that, are angas of their material, you know, fruit of work. So they might get pious results from that, but they won't get devotional. You know what I'm saying? From their own idea. So, but if the devotees, by associating, can bring them from that third step to the fourth of sadhana bhakti, then there's some benefit. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And most of the time what we're dealing with is dealing with people on the first and second step.
Mm.
You know, those on the Anamoya or on the Pranamoya.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So in the West, Anamoya is standard, and then Pranamoya would be, you know, your top people, you know, the people that really are so, you know, really spiritual and very religious and very, you know, how you say, broad-minded and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, but at the same time, they'd be like on your lowest within the Varnashram. You know, because they're atheistic, they're only doing these things because they would be seeing that it would, the benefits that are coming there. But it's not that they have any faith in God or not. They're just following the culture. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you see even in the modern context, the people that will religiously identify themselves as a religion, but as far as faith goes, they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people who identify as Hindus, but they don't have faith in God or, and, you know, they're just doing, you know. But if you ask, they're deshis, you know. So if they're in the West, you know, like that, they're deshis, you know. They hang out with the deshis because, you know, they like you know, they like the curry with the chili in it, you know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so then there'll be some kind of things there, but they're not actually, so they're not properly following. They're not totally against the Varnashram, but they're not really following. For them, it's just some tradition. So the ones that actually are committed to it, that would put them on the third step, you know. But the problem is then they're following all these Vedic rules because of their the material benefit they'll get, rather than the how it will elevate them, you know, more closer to the Lord. So that's only when you come in contact with the devotees. And then through that association, then you give up those aspects of the Varnashram that are not useful for you, and only keep that which is useful in devotional service. Then one becomes the sadhaka. So one has to see, is there maybe the mentality of the individual, and it's not impressive to the Lord. The devotees are also careful of that mentality. At the same time as the devotees are preaching and trying to engage people. So here Raghunath Das, he's taking that mood of that, you know, about the materialistic people, and I'm doing this for this or that, or he's looking at it from a point of view that it's not an ideal position. So that's what Sri Damodar Goswami is pointing out. You know, because as we said, it's for the material benefit. So if they're worshipping the Lord or worshipping the Vaishnavas for the material benefit, and it's not reciprocated, then they'll turn against. You know, you see even, you know, you have the famous, our count, not the Monte Cristo one, farther east, the Transylvanian one. So he was very religious. But when he was out on a campaign and his wife died from, you know, whatever the local disease that happened to be going around at that time, then he turned against God. So you can see, is God just part of the thing that I worship you, you reciprocate in this way? So it's not actually in that way devotion as such. So that's why it's very easy. In other words, someone who's accepted religion and accepted that there's God and accepted the laws of God, for them, then the process of devotional service would be very easy, because they're already living a lifestyle that has, the main elements of bhakti. But they have to change the mentality to be able to actually take up devotion. Does that make sense? So in here, if we only look at just the external point, then it'll always be, no, but they're offering money, they're offering this. But, you know, the thing is money only has its value because people value it. And so when they give money, that means that it's a sacrifice for them. You know? But let's say, okay, it's money. You have a very rich guy, and he gives you 1,000 rupees. Was it a sacrifice?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. But let's say you're out in the village, and you know you're there. You do a program at somebody's house there, or something like that, and they all get together and they give you 1,000 rupees. That was serious. So that's the point, is that money is used only because it's of value to people. Position is used only because it has value. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would take the titles that would be there for the different positions that Vaishnavas might have, you know, in certain areas, and would have the devotees put the initials of those degrees after their name, because those things were of value to the modern culture. Not that it means Baladev Vidyabhushana, you know, like that, is not, when he hands you your card, it's not Baladev BV, you know, or VB, you know, like that. Nowadays, then people worry about that. So then they would give these titles and all that, so that they could be used to advantage in preaching. But otherwise, then, due to conditioning, we think karma and jnana have value on their own. No, but the guy wants to give money and all this and that. But The point is the money the value, or the money is what he's supposed to be expressing his devotion or his surrender with? So the mistake sometimes comes in where we're trying, where we're engaging, seemingly engaging people, but it's all about the money. Oh, don't do this, you know, don't do that, oh, don't talk. I've had somebody come up and said, oh, they're coming, it's this big guy who's the big donor for the temple, he's coming up to bathe the deity. The guy's been around for a long time, since the 70s, right? And, you know, when he came before, he was just a life member. But he got initiated at one point, and so then he would come up in his dhoti and his chadar and bathe the deity and go. But I remember one person was there. They brought him in because he had just given some big donation, I think, for maybe building, you know, maybe the new extension or something. I don't know. It was something, you know, something quite large, more than what most people were giving. And he had his shirt, you know, because being a Marwari, they wear their dhoti and kurta. That's just what they wear. And so he came up, and then this devotee came up and says, you know, he wants to come for the, you know, the bathing and that. Is this, you know, when, you know, right time and that? Because he was trying to arrange to, you know, get him up there. And then I said, yeah, no problem. Have him put on his chadar. He said, oh, no, but he's a big guy. How can you ask him to put on his chadar? And I says, what are you talking about? Where, you know, this is the Radha Madhava. So it's like they, you know, the money's going to oppress them and all this and that and something like this. He could understand what I was saying. So he just turned to his wife and nodded. She pulled the chadar out of his bag and he took off his shirt. And all. He was came prepared for that. He just wanted to know if it was an opportunity, because I think it may have been, you know, a big festival or something. So normally he'd bathe at smaller festivals like that. But so for him it wasn't that. I remember also, I think it was, they had the DM and some other guys came, you know, and some ministers from Calcutta, and they come, and one guy, I think it was somebody was bringing them. And there were, you have the Lotus Building, you know, it has those far out steps that go and then go down like this. So there were some shoes down at the bottom there. And, you know, these are all big guys, and they're coming along going, yeah, you leave your shoes here, they're very strict. And they're all like, ooh, okay, cool. You know, these guys, you know, while the life member wall is, no, wear your shoes up. Hey, walk on my head, walk on the walls, walk on the deities. As long as you give money, hey, it's all preaching, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's not that, it's not consideration. You know, it's not, I'm not a fanatic, you deal nicely. But the point is we do have our regulations and our culture. And these are Indians. It's not like, you know, we're dealing with, you know, Mr. Rothschild here or something, you know, that he wouldn't know and, you know, take off shoes, he's freaking out and, you know what I'm saying? These are people who in their own house walk around barefoot, and when they go into the deity room, they offer obeisances and they do all that stuff and they have Brahmins and they know all this stuff. So then it goes into an area where the money becomes what's important rather than the devotion being expressed through that, because if they give money, then they should start to advance also. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, remember, around that, it may have been around that time. Yeah. There was one life member maker in Calcutta. He was the biggest of anybody. No one was anywhere near him in how many members there were. And his thing was, you know, he'd go down to Barter Bazaar, and as he's walking, he's meeting some new guy, but on the way, whoever's office was there, he'd drop in on them. How are they doing? Are they reading? Are they chanting? And discuss philosophy with them and stuff like that. And when they'd come to the temple, they would act as devotees. Well, all the other members from the other member makers, they come in and, you know, walk around like they own the place, you know, and where are all the people to serve me and give me the benefits. So there's a difference there. So we have to understand, as Raghunath Das is pointing out, that mentality of pride that they had and that fruithood won't get you devotion, since this is the part about devotion. And so therefore Raghunath Das is looking at it from that mentality. But as far as picking up the living entities and all that by engaging them, even if he does have an attitude that his money has been engaged, there's going to be benefit. But the point is until he himself takes on that devotional humility, they won't be able to get a very deep, they won't make much advancement. They'll be purified in the background, but the problem is they in their front consciousness, it may take a long time. So we always have to differentiate here that you do have to have the aspect of the money and not money. So we have things where somebody's giving money and Prabhupada happily takes it, even though their industry and all that, so Ugra Karma and all that. He gave a nice donation, but the attitude's very nice and everything. You know, it's not like they own the place. And so he took it, but he wouldn't use it himself. He just gave it straight to the deities. Because normally he would take it and use it, you know, for Vrindavan or Mayapur, you know, special projects and all that, but it'd be in his account. But he didn't want that money in his account because it just wasn't good money. You know, so in a sense, you know, it may have been, as far as the government goes, it was proper money. You know, but what we're saying is that karma wasn't. So he would, at the same time but he'd take that. And other times people come and offer, like that, I think in Bombay, somebody offered him a school. Big building and school and everything like that. Just come, take it over, use it for training and all that. But they, you know, they had that education and probably didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, because it wasn't about spiritual teaching. It was just about, you know, making nice people that could get a nice job and like that. So one has to see is how much is there in the mentality, the potency and things like that. And so you can do stuff like that, but it doesn't become standard, like I think in Detroit, because of who was inviting and who that, they were trying to do something and connect. So then they worked it out when they got the Fisher Mansion, because then one of the things was, because the Ford family and the Fisher family had been at odds since the beginning, but they worked it out that both families, because the granddaughter of Ford and the granddaughter of Fisher were both devotees. You know, initiated devotees. So they arranged. So in the town, they put down carpets and everything and chairs. So people came in just as they were. And so it was that. But it didn't become the standard now that everybody can just walk in the temple with their shoes. It had a special occasion. You did these people and stuff like that. Because we were inviting them. But if they come, then, you know, you have your standards. Even in, I think, in L.A., when they got the place, you had, you know, the temple was? You've been to L.A.? You know, you have the main temple, the kind of the back building, but then there's one building that sticks out in the front. That used to be open and it had pews. And so Prabhupada said, leave the pews, and then we can give lectures and that to, you know, outside people can come and they just come in as they are and shuffle in and sit down. They don't have to worry. If they want to go in for darshan, then they take off their shoes and that kind of thing. But if they're just coming for the lecture, they come like that. You know, but devotees would thought, oh, that's Maya, and so they took out the pews. You know, but otherwise you had you have to see where. It means we have the culture, what we live, but then we can have arrangements for people who are otherwise. Like when we have an outside program, we rent a hall, you know, it's not necessarily that people take their shoes off, you know what I'm saying? Depends on the program and everything. So it's a matter of seeing how much you can, what you can do with it. And you at the time, that it's not just, oh, it's money, so it's automatic. No, it has to be seen as, how is this engaging the living entity? How can we do? If this is all they can do, then, you know, it might be used. But then it's the Vaishnava that's giving the blessing. It's not because he's giving money that he's getting the benefit. It's because the Vaishnava is seen that this is, we can engage this person this way. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
You know? You also have that thing that you have that, what do you call it, Vrindavan? I think the Maharaj of Bharatpur, he wanted to give this big silver Sringasan But it was not a deity shringasana, it was a vyasasana kind of thing. He wanted to give it for Prabhupada to sit on. And somehow or other, when it was delivered, then the devotees thought that there were some strings attached, so they didn't accept it. So it went back. And then the Maharaj, he wouldn't even talk to the devotees. Once the Chutananda came in the car and, you know, found him pulled up next to him and all this, and, you know, trying to, you know, say, you know, sorry, this and that. And he just pulled out a gun and waved it and said, move, go back. So that was it. So that's one of those ones they sometimes turn against. Yeah, yeah, because he sent this gift. And I mean, it's a solid silver shringasana.
And the devotees didn't understand this? No.
Yeah, they sent it back. They thought, you know, oh, you know, like this, he's a materialist, why would we take, you know, so that's that kind of thing. And so, but he actually just, because the kings, they had everything, then they lost everything. And then, now what is he going to do with this? And he thought, you know, he had some respect for Prabhupada, so he'll give him this, you know. But somehow or another, it didn't work out. So therefore, you have to see, is there's two things going on here. Is the materialists themselves and their mentality that has an aspect that may not be actually important for Krishna or anything, because they're just working on their own conditioned things of they give to sadhus, they do that, but it's all for their material benefit. It's all for prestige or things like that. Then you have the devotee who can see a way to engage the person, and by their blessings that person gets engaged. So these two things are proper. What we're talking about is the third element here, is devotees who, it's because it's money, they think it's important, rather than what about the engaging the person? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of aspect. So the devotee has to, if you're going to be the Vaidhi, because the money is that Krishna can send however he wants, and he can say, well, he's sending through this person, and okay, as long as you're seeing like that, that is, you have a project, you know, you need the money, Krishna arranged the money to come, like that, you know, then okay, that's the whole thing, is that it's, the devotee is the one that would have to engage it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the demigods are there, they can offer their prayers, but nothing's happening. But the Lord Maharaj goes, and then prayers are accepted. So the relationship between the devotee and the Lord. So it's not just because it's a donation, just because it's money, that's automatically preaching. You know, money is a facet of preaching. You know what I'm saying? But if you put it together by money, it's like take all the Prabhupada's disciples, all of them together, and whatever money they brought to the table when they joined, put them on one side. And how much one of these life members in India have given, and put it on the other side, you know. Who's the pure devotee here? Prabhupada, right?
He balanced it.
He balanced it. But my point is if that's the case, then all these persons who are talking about it's the money is the big thing wouldn't have a shot at all. Why are they even here? Because of the devotion, the surrender, and that's way more important. In other words, money is one of the things to engage, but devotion is the most. Then knowledge, then influence, then money, then skill. There's a hierarchy. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just a matter of seeing is that. Yes, these engaging these things are very important, and for a materialist, as money is, it says, sweeter than honey, right? And so, for them to give money, that's a big thing. But that has to be seen as that's the context. So it's a value because he's giving the money. Because he's giving the money because he values it. We're accepting the money because it's used in Krishna's service. What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the mentality has to be seen very nicely. So Raghunath Das is just taking this that he's a materialist, and therefore, or at least his parents are materialists. I mean, Lord Chaitanya even started off with that discussion on that. You know, I think it would be the year before. This is like a year later, right? Because
yeah, a long time.
It was a long because it had to be the next May, right? Because they would have come in May,
yes.
And so his father would have sent those 10 men out to catch the party, but he wasn't there, so they came back. So then only after 4 months when they came back, he found out he's there. But then he says, you know, with that, you're not going to make it there. So therefore, you wait till we go next year. Then your people can come. You know, so,
yeah.
36, 277, 278. Considering all these points, Sri Damodar concluded, he has stopped inviting you. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and spoke as follows. When one eats food offered by a materialistic man, one's mind becomes contaminated. And when the mind is contaminated, one is unable to think of Krishna properly. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahajiyas, or so-called Vaishnavas, who take everything very casually, are both vishayis or materialists. Okay, so the materialistic and the sahajiyas, they're both materialists. Eating food offered by them causes contamination, and as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. There are 6 kinds of association. Giving charity, accepting food, offering food, talking confidentially, and acquiring confidentially. One should very carefully avoid associating with both the sahajiyas, who are sometimes known as Vaishnavas, and the non-Vaishnavas, or avaishnavas. Their association changes the transcendental devotional service of Lord Krishna into sense gratification. And when sense gratification enters the mind of a devotee, he is contaminated. The materialistic person who aspires after sense gratification cannot properly think of Krishna. Right? So then one's always very, very careful about these things. You know, so sometimes when you're traveling or this or that, you might be whatever you can get your hands on. But as soon as you get to, you know, wherever you're going, then you go back to your proper things like that. Remember, I think we were in, was it? I think it was Madras. This is before there was any temples. There was nothing in south. And so then, Panchadevita Maharaj and the Koyananda Maharaj, the Prabhupada sent them to south. And then they would take a group of brahmacharis with them. You know, to help and like that. They were there. And remember, when you got there, you had no place to stay, no nothing and all that. So at first, you're just staying at people's places, eating their food and this and that, until I think it got arranged that somebody had a connection with the Das Prakash Dharamshala in Madras. And so, because we were, you know, sadhu, so we could stay there as long as we like. We were going to be there, I think, some weeks or something. So then, you know, that was arranged, and then we started cooking. And the fun part is that, you know, you're going to these you know, very wealthy people, because in those days, you started at the top. Whoever were the wealthiest people, those are the ones you're going to. And then from there, the networking goes out and it goes down. And so, you know, very good arrangements, very good food, very good everything. But it was interesting that after, you know, some days of that, you know, 3, 4, 5 days of having to eat with them until we got the Dharamshala, that when we just cooked simple khichdi, it actually tasted better. You know, it's just because the consciousness and the other that doesn't carry. Prasad has, you know, Krishna's taste in it. So it's much better. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Any day,
yeah.
Any moment.
Yeah. 36279. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. When one accepts an invitation from a person contaminated by the material mode of passion, The person who offers the food and the person who accepts it are both mentally contaminated. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are three kinds of invitations. Those in the mode of goodness, those in passion, and those in ignorance. An invitation accepted from a pure devotee is in the mode of goodness. An invitation accepted from a person who is pious but materially attached is in the mode of passion. And an invitation accepted from a person who is materially very sinful is in the mode of ignorance. 3:6, 280 to 294. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Because of Raghunath Das's eagerness, I accepted his invitation for many days. It is very good that Raghunath Das, knowing this, has now automatically given up his practice. After some days, Raghunath Das gave up standing near the Simhadwara gate and instead began eating by begging alms from the booth for free distribution of food. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this news from Govinda, he inquired from Sup Damodar, "Why does Raghunath Das no longer stand at the Simhadwara gate to beg alms?" Sup Damodar replied, "Raghunath Das felt unhappy standing at the Simhadwara. Therefore, he's now going at midday to beg alms from the charity booth." Hearing this news, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "He has done very well by no longer standing at the Simhadwara gate. Such begging of alms resembles the behavior of a prostitute. God, here is a person coming near. He will give me something. This person gave me something last night. Now another person is coming near. He may give me something. The person who just passed did not give me anything, but another person will come and he will give me something." End quote. Thus a person in the renounced order gives up his neutrality and depends on the charity of this person or that. Thinking in this way, he adopts the occupation of a prostitute. If one goes to the booth where free food is distributed and fills his belly with whatever he obtains, there is no chance of further unwanted talk. And one can very peacefully chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? Because it's for free distribution. You go there, whatever happens to be there, you get. You know, you just come there, you know, get your alms, and you go. You don't have to talk. But for these other persons who send the Simhadwara the gate, then the person's going to come, you have to talk, you have to, you know, speak in a way that they'll be happy, you know, and all these different things, and who knows what direction the conversation goes or anything like that.
Why can't all the beggars from Singhadwar gate go to the free booth for prasad? Why do they have to tax their brain negotiating their donations when they can get free prasad on the other side?
Maybe because it's more irregular, or because the other one, as he said, the person will go and tell the guys that have that at the stalls to give him something, and you know,
right,
things like that.
Simhadwara is only in the evening.
Yeah, it's only at the very end when they leave. So then that would be the noon, will be they go there, and then
right,
some may be too late for them,
right,
like that. But he switched because, you know, he just felt it wasn't, didn't cultivate the right attitude. So going with the other ones, you're with all the other ones who are begging, and that you get something, you don't, they have enough, you run out. It's just whatever happens. But you don't have to interact. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again bestowed his mercy upon Raghunath Das by giving him a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. Oh, it's conch shells. I always thought it was gunj.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's...
I watched Yashina Maharaj.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I watched Nadia Nimai.
Jaya Guru Swami.
Okay.
He had a series, before he passed away, he had a series of called Let's Talk. And him and his disciple Giri Maharaj, who is the new Acharya, he used to be here, if you remember. So they pick up topics, relevant topics, you know, Vaishnava Acharyas, controversies, different things. So he picked up the topic of certain things that had come up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he explains the conch. He said, Prabhupada gave Nitai and Jasachinandan to translate the verses. They had no clue what a Gunjamala is
Oh, so they say
Kach. Therefore, because it takes place in Puri, it's Kach. Therefore, they put the word Kach.
Okay.
They did not know what a Gunja berry is.
Okay. Yeah, because generally you always hear it said it's Gunja berries.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And the stone from Govardhan Hill.
But you do see those.
Which?
For the kids. They're gone from mouths.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you pick it up at the beach. I mean, go to the beach, they always have to pick up shells, right? So.
And
then
make it.
Yeah.
I think Madhavananda Prabhu, he explains extensively in his magazine about Govardhan. He explains that and, you know, all the details of that. The mala is connected to the Mukta Charita Lila.
Hmm.
So that there's the connection, and then Govardhan and mala, that this is how they match.
Well, that's Radharani. The mala is Radharani.
Yeah, because they grew thorns. So yes. That the gunja is there. Is the fruit of that thorny bush that grew. So it has that connection also. It's not
same time as you have to be careful. It's not Govardhan mala.
No. It's not mala. It's not
Govardhan. You said it. You said it.
And mala.
Yeah. I was just thinking. Okay. Did he let some? Was that a Freudian slip? Actually, he's a cyborg.
But these conch shells were also currency in Puri, wasn't it?
Those are the kortis that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
That 640 kortis he was spending. I can't remember how many of them were, I think, to a paisa. But they were something I remember 11, but I may be getting that mixed up with another thing. But there's an X amount of those to make a paisa, and then there's 16 paisa to a rupee, like that. And so then kortis were used as legal tender.
Hmm.
You know, if you can say, well, how can you just use shells? How can you just use a piece of paper? Now that's just a piece of plastic. You know, somebody's like, oh, well, why swatch it? Or the car, yeah. It's like,
now it's easy. It's transfer.
Yeah,
it's transfer.
You use your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
QR code.
QR.
Even if you buy coriander, QR code.
It's good. You get coriander for nothing.
You go to any farmer's market in China, I mean farmers, there's no cash on the premises. It's all QR code.
It's all off your phone.
You buy your vegetables, you put up your phone, and you get,
thank you very much.
Okay?
Means the phone says that.
Yeah. No, they're on their phone, it tells thank you.
Oh, okay.
It's transferred.
Money is transferred.
Okay. It always said that way, it doesn't say it in Chinese?
Yeah, it says it in Chinese.
Oh, okay, I was going to say. I was thinking, why did they say it in English?
You should have
drawn it. I mean, it's amazing, you know. Like,
so they don't use any currency in.
They don't use cash. It's all with the phone.
Imagine you forgot your phone, that's it.
You forget your phone, you can't buy anything.
It don't even exist.
Yeah.
Previously, for materialists, no Ananda and no Chit. Now, if there's no form, no sat,
no existence.
No existence.
But if you lose your
heart,
you're gone.
And the other thing, I mean, this is a side thing, but it's very interesting. If you go to a farmer's market, you just hear yelling all the time. Now in China, it's all peaceful. They're all watching movies.
And then when a customer comes, then they'll
talk. They're watching movies, And then you thank him, and you just buy, put it on the scale, put your QR code, move on.
Many busy like that.
The younger ones.
The new generation.
Yeah, nobody cares about you.
No negotiation, no price, no bargain, no nothing.
It's quiet.
I mean, when the milkman comes to my room and I give him konji milk. What's that?
You mean here in Mayapur?
Yeah. He doesn't like it, I can see it. I always only give him konji.
That's funny. Wow. Upon receiving these two uncommon items, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy. Wait a minute. Oh, I missed a sentence and After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again bestowed his mercy upon Raghunath Das by giving him a stone from Govardhan Hill and a garland of small conch shells. Previously, when Shankarananda Saraswati had returned from Vrindavan, he had brought the stone from Govardhan Hill and also the garland and conch shells. So they didn't come from Puri. He presented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with these two items, the garland of conch shells and the stone from Govardhan Hill. Upon receiving these two uncommon items, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy. While chanting, he would put the garland around his neck. The Lord would put the stone to his heart and sometimes to his eyes. Sometimes he would smell it with his nose and sometimes place it on his head. The stone from Govardhan was always moist with tears from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, "This stone is directly the body of Lord Krishna." For 3 years he kept the stone and garland. Then, greatly satisfied by the behavior of Raghunath Das, the Lord delivered both of them to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das, "This stone is the transcendental form of Lord Krishna. Worship the stone with great eagerness." Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya that in the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Govardhan Shila, the stone from Govardhan Hill, was directly the form of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. The Lord used the stone for 3 years, and then in the heart of Raghunath Das, the Lord awakened devotional service to the stone. The Lord then gave the stone to Raghunath Das, accepting him as one of his most confidential servants. However, some envious people conclude that because Raghunath Das had not taken birth in the family of a Brahmin, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give him the right to worship the deity directly, but instead gave him a stone from Govardhan. This kind of thought is Naraki, or hellish. As stated in the Padma Purana, Archie Vishnau Shila Dhir Guru Shu Nara Matir Vaishnave Jati Buddhihi Yasya Va Naraki Saha. One thinks that the worship of the Shalyam Shilas is a mere stone, that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, or that a pure Vaishnava preaching the bhakti cult all over the world is a member of a particular caste or material division of society. He is considered a Naraki, a candidate for hellish life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that the Govardhan Shila, the stone taken from Govardhan, is non-different from the body of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he indirectly advised such foolish persons that one should not be envious of a Vaishnava who belongs to a different caste or sect. One should accept a Vaishnava. Yeah, probably if you look at the word for word, it says Gujamala. Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. Because then it says garland of small conscience in the sunnets. That's Gujamala.
Okay. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, as transcendental, what was that? One should accept a Vaishnava as transcendental. In this way, one can be saved. Otherwise, one is surely awaiting a hellish life. 362953 So it's just you have these caste Brahmins, these smartas, and Because basically their only claim to fame is the birth. They don't necessarily have the qualities. Because otherwise, if they have the qualities, then they know it's the qualities that makes the Brahman, and anybody else who has the qualities, they recognize this. Right? So this being varnashram by birth, that's insisted upon by those who are unqualified. Because otherwise you see in the Vedic literature like Gotama, you know, Gotama Rishi, then when Javala came to him, he accepted him because he had the nature of a Brahmin, even though his background, you know, he can't say is of necessarily of such glory. And so then, and he's, you know, he's one of the very famous sages in the Vedas, you know, Satyakama Javala. So he's in the Veda itself. So it's a very ancient story. And so the it's not a Vedic consideration. So that they do this, then they try to find different ways to point out, because he's from this, you know, Kayastha or Vaishnava background like this, then therefore that's why he didn't get the deity to worship. But the point is the deity you have to install, then the deity is not different from the Lord. But the Shaligram and the Govardhan Shiva, they're you don't install them. They're directly the body of the Lord. You know, so why would that be something less? Especially because they, if you're worshiping Shaligram, has to be worshiped with the 16 items. You know, you don't reduce that. You know,
Maharaj, can you clarify for me, please, the mood, the intention of Lord Chaitanya when he gives Govardhan Shiva to Raghunath? Is it as a result of Lord Chaitanya appreciating his renunciation? Or is it because he feels, now I'm giving you entrance into Raj? Why is it not?
What we're looking at here, the renunciation, we're looking at the particular character, you know, the culture that's displayed by Raghunath Das. Because as we know from before, it mentioned that he was already a pure devotee when he was living at home. So then it's just further and further, you know, this aspect of humility, meekness, depending upon the Lord, you know, those elements of Sharanagati. So the point is it's an attitude, that surrender. And the six symptoms are something that you can perceive. And so then these things are being perceived, but it's not the renunciation. You know, because otherwise Hiranyakashipu was doing austerity that there was no flesh on the bones. He's just bone, literally bones. You know, so I mean that's, you have to say that's pretty austere. You know, but it's not, you know, gaining the Lord's mercy like that. So it's not, means the renunciation is simply a symptom of his seeing Krishna as the maintainer and the protector, like that. And so then he's going to be, you know, part of that. And Lord Chaitanya's accepted him, and he's already put him under Lalita. So just by getting a Govardhan Shila and the Gunjamala, that itself is not going to be the thing that takes him into Braj. The point is if he's getting in there at all, it's going to be through Lalita.
Yes.
You know. So it's by the instruction. Because we see here is whether Raghunath Das has said this to Srup Damodar or not, Srup Damodar is saying what his mood is.
Right.
Because it doesn't say that he told me this, or I heard from him, or we were discussing. It just said that Srup Damodar says what his mood is.
Yes.
So then he's able to, you know, tell, because he's his dependent. You know? So he has that. So in this, then you can see is he's very much, because then Krishna and Radharani and that are very important in this whole process. And so that will be there, but we have to see it's not a ritualistic entrance because otherwise we tend to look for those kind of things. Like we had the discussion the other day about the Akadasa Bhav. You know, otherwise how do you get in if you don't have this? The point is this, we say, then who? How many devotees have Giriraj? You know, and some of them have Gujmala, some don't know about them. You know, so then, is it a discussion coming up to the ministry that there's a big problem in worshiping these Govardhan Shilas? People are rolling on the ground in such ecstasy that they can't finish all their worship. So is that all right? You know, is that display of affection enough that Shaligram would be pleased? Or does someone have to come in and tap him on the shoulder and says, hey, finish the puja first, then roll around?
No, but there had been discussion about people going to Govardhan and picking up Govardhan Shilas in all sorts of ways except the proper ways.
Yeah, but this is also just, you know, it's a matter of making that, you have to know what you're dealing with here, you know, because it's taken that as something simpler and easier and all that, like the, you know, Gas Goswamis are saying. When actually Purimar said, if you're worshipping Giriraj on his own, you have to worship him with the 16 items. Because are they on Ragmarg?
No, they're not.
Because Ragmarg means the fifth step of consciousness. Right? You know, as sadhakas, we're generally, you know, given the benefit of the doubt that we're situated on the fourth. You know, but that's because now you're taking and engaging, you know, the Vaishnava culture and everything in Krishna's service and all that. We're not talking about modern atheistic pranamoy platitudes of social values and economics. You know what I'm saying? So that might be a bit mixed, but still, as sadhakas, we're given, that's the position. It may still have impurities from the previous steps that we haven't, you know, given up. You know, it's kind of like we're going up on our hands and knees, but keeping that foot down on that lower step, you know, kind of, you know. So then the point comes is that if it's not Rag Bhakti, then you have to worship him with 16 items. Means that that's just the way it is. And if they want to argue it, it's whoever's going to argue that and Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. Good luck arguing.
It's interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, he's the Pujari.
Acharya.
Yeah. And he's the Pujari for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he's one of the only ones that actually was really favorable towards Prabhupada at all times, no matter what.
Which one is it? Young?
Bhakti, old pretty much. He's already left now. Yeah.
But it's an interesting point because I'm not sure if...
You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing. If you know deity worship, but they're making it, oh no, but it doesn't matter because it's all, we chant, we... So are you sitting down and how many rounds are you chanting there? Are you just sitting there and chanting all day, you know? Is that what you're doing? But the point is though, you have your house, you have your job, you have your this, you have all these things. Great, that's not a problem. As a householder, that's not a problem. But the point is you're following all the rules there. Why wouldn't you follow it with here? Why is it suddenly on this platform you're all spontaneous? And so that's the thing, people have to know where they stand. So therefore, it's 16 items. Or don't. You know, have a picture, then do whatever you like. You know, just put some flowers and some incense and haribol, you know. Do some kirtan, make some offerings whenever you do. You know, it's good enough. But if they're going to have there, then... It's also the rule is technically, unless you know you have some specific authorization like that, is whatever the Giriraj that you take, you have to leave an equivalent volume of gold on the hill.
Yeah,
Giriraj means if you take a Shila that's that big, you're supposed to leave a piece of 24 karat gold that big. Yeah, not plated.
No.
Like that. So, you know, so if it's for a temple or something, or a guru said, you know, you please your word like this, but if everyone just goes there and haribol, you know, it's like, you know, you say, you know, you go to Moscow, you get those what do you call it, those dolls? Madrushka. Madrushka dolls, or, you know, stuff like that. So you go to Govardhan, you know, get a Sheila, you know, yeah, you know. So one has to be careful. It's not that it's a problem, but they should take it seriously, you know.
That's Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Vyasa Puja offering in 1994.
A Madrushka doll?
No.
Oh, look.
And he took that big deer at Houston temple.
Okay.
And he said, you know, why have I done that? You know, I haven't given anything in return. And then he explained, how is he going to give so much in return?
Okay.
But I think it's coming up, I'm not sure if it's coming up, but Lord Chaitanya is going to give Raghunath the mode of worship, which is water, tulsi, and he says, 8 manjaris. So he's already giving him the platform of Raghunath Bhakti without mode of worship.
At the same time, you have to look at it that it's already there. Rag doesn't have rules and stuff. We will ritualize. Mm-hmm. We'll say, oh, here's this. But us as Vaidhi sadhakas, are looking at it, oh, this is this and this is that. And we don't need to do that. The point is these things are natural. Rag means it's spontaneous. Means we take spontaneous in English, at least in, you know, good old down-home Anglo-Saxon stuff, spontaneous is synonym with whimsical. And that's how it's used. Spontaneous means without the use of intelligence, you're attracted. But in here, we're using the oh, this is this, and this is that, and it's all intelligence. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is it's just there's a spontaneity there. Rati means a natural attraction. It doesn't have an intellectual process. You don't have to think, you know. It's like, okay, you know, tomorrow morning, you know, we'll go to Mangalartik. You know, and you have to think about, okay, yeah, go, okay, yeah, could we, you know. It's just you want to be there. Means have you heard of that somebody, you know, early in the morning there, you know, around Radhakund or Govindastali and that, is going around with the bell, waking up all the mantris, saying, hey, get up from Mangalartik, you know, and this and that, and yeah, pouring buckets of water, you know, I mean, Jamuna water, come on, you know, I mean, it is sacred. And you know, like that, and, you know, coming back again, hey, you know, this is the third time I come by, I'm not coming by again, you know.
No breakfast.
Hmm?
No breakfast.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and all this kind of stuff, or it's just everybody's already there. So the whole thing is, the servants go to bed after Radha Krishna, get up before Radha Krishna because they want to be there. That's the spontaneity. It's not because it's a sadhana, it's because then you get a certain benefit, you'll be purified, you know, like this. You know, it's just that they want to serve Radha Krishna. They want to be there. So that aspect is, it has to be seen as, we'll talk about spontaneous and then ritualize it. Oh, you have to read these things. As soon as you say you have to, it's Vaidhi. As soon as you make it out, no, but if you have to do this and you have to do that, it's Vaidhi. Oh, but Shastra says it's Vaidhi. They love Krishna, not because Shastra says. Shastra says you should love Krishna, but they're loving Krishna not because Shastra says. Right? It's just like, okay, we have some individuals like that of appropriate ages and all that, and somehow or another by, you know, freaks of fate or whatever it is, they have some kind of connection and develop an attraction, and eventually they get married and all that. So that attraction that they had for each other, was that because Shastra says that, you know, boys were born to be fathers, girls were born to be mothers, and so when they get up in the proper and after training and all that, then that, you know, all these things happen? Or is that attraction is just, it's not with the intelligence? So that's what's meant by spontaneous. It's not whimsical, because once it's there, it doesn't go away. So if it's there today and tomorrow it's not, that's whimsical, sentimental. And it's directed towards Krishna, it's nice, but the point is only if it's stable is it good. Like if you're at your house and you hear, and that's it. There's not another knock. You know, you think it's not serious. But if someone's banging on the door, then you go, oh, wait. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that it's been presented, you know, hearing these same points since the 70s, that it's always presented as if it's being dealing on a higher level, but it's not. It's taking these things and making it into these things. It's like, you know, you're sitting there and then you're getting into the rickshaw with one of the local wallahs like that, and you know, there's a moment there because they're waiting for somebody to come, and they look at their watch and go, oh, you know, now Radha and Krishna are doing this. And it's kind of like that, but just before that you were talking all kinds of other, you know, brunch job, you know, prajalpa. It's kind of like, well, what's, you know, it's just a matter, you have a good memory, you have good, what, you can connect things very nicely, and all, then but one has to be very, very careful with these things, because in the name of rag sadhana, and they don't actually, most don't catch rag sadhana. It's still part of sadhana bhakti. That means the external form is still vaidhi. And if they say, no, it's got its own, then that means Rupa Goswami's wrong. You know, when he defines rag bhakti, after, you know, other than this point they said without intelligence, that, but when he defines the example of it, what's the example? There's only one. Right? The example of the wife with the parma. That's, no one else gives that example. And he gives that example, the acharyas give the same example. And so what's the point in the example? The point is that she follows the rules better than a wife who doesn't have a paramour, because she doesn't want any suspicion to be raised. So this thing where, you know, you don't see that, they're only talking about this and that, you know. There's no, you know, how you say, we have to take the, you know, it means if we want to get into statistics, like, you know, how long would, when precipitation comes through a very cold environment, and then when it falls on the ground there and you can collect it together.
It's called snow.
Yeah. And so if you kept that thermally adjusted precipitation, and took that to, let's say, you know, one of the planets where the assistance to Yamaraj, whose physical features would not end up on the cover of any magazine, and they were there, you know, doing their jobs of boiling people in oil or, you know, stuff like that. And in that scenario, how long would that small conglomerate of precipitation last in that form?
I think it would not even make it there.
Yes. That's the amount of chance that these guys have of being on the platform of Rag Bhakti. Because a point like this, when you let's say you have some young girls and you have mature married women, and when they're talking and giving advice to these girls, what are they talking about?
How
to behave, how to deal, how to clean, just all the things that make a household go nicely. Right? Let us take some late teens, you know, out there, you know, like that. What are they talking about?
Nothing.
You don't need to have details here, but I'm just saying, are they talking that? And even if they're around these younger girls, they won't be talking that to them. Therefore, that's why you see Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all these things, they don't talk all that stuff. And if people are talking that stuff, there's something wrong. You don't talk to neophytes this stuff. Literally.
But is it going on so much?
And where do you get it from?
Somewhere.
Vadakund? Govardhan?
Varshana?
Varshana? Navadvipa. Not so much here nowadays, but before it wouldn't be, they wouldn't be. So in other words, that's where it comes from, and that's why it's the same thing. These questions are the same questions that have been discussed literally 40 years ago. But it's like, oh, it's something new, it's something, that's the same thing. So that these things aren't, they're not real. They're made like they're real, but they're not real. Because the point is Lord Chaitanya is seeing as directly as Krishna. You know, and it's crying and this and it's chanting and it's always absorbed. You know what I'm saying? So it's nice, they're doing the worship and they're dressing nicely, doing the things nicely, but then they should be doing it through the proper pancharatrik methods. And if they say we just chant, then just chant. That's fine. If you say we just chant, then sit down and chant. Why all the other stuff? You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can't say, oh, we just chant, or we're devotees, and then that's supposed to just like, you know, like a tornado, just blow away all the tumbleweeds of doubt. You know, like that. These are just weak nigrahastan elements of logic. It's just like, you know, we're supposed to be scared by that. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? It's that this is what you're supposed to do. When the first Shaligram in the movement came to Calcutta to come to Mayapur for Jananivas Prabhu to worship, no one wanted to touch the Shaligram because they had such respect what they heard for Prabhupada talk about Shaligram worship and what it requires and qualifications, and no one would touch it. That's another thing. But, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, you know, it's just, you know, it's just like, oh, we'll go to hell. We'll make so many offenses. No one wanted to deal with it. So they only consider Jananivas Prabhu, now he's qualified. And now you have people who are uninitiated picking up Govardhan Shivas. That means, why is this happening? You know what I'm saying? Because there's no proper respect and understanding of what's going on here. So now, if you want to advance in all that, the point is you have eight kind of deities. Why use this one? Like that. You know what I'm saying? Why use this? You see, all the temples started off with pictures. And they're just the same. You don't see any difference. If you're seeing a difference, then you have a problem. You know, and if they're on this advance, then sit down and in your mind meditate and do all your worship. But the point is that it has its one has to appreciate that these things are there because of the natural unfolding of the relationship between the Lord and the devotee and all that. We shouldn't take it as, oh, this is what's happening here and you have to get a shaligram, otherwise you can't get into Braj Leela and this. These are all just, somebody makes these up. You know, it's just like, I don't know if you had experience, but I remember once I went to, I think it was 69. We went to a program. You know, it was kids from all over the country came together and all that. And what was interesting is it didn't matter where you were from in the country. The jokes were exactly the same. You know, one or two words are different, but otherwise exactly the same joke. It's kind of like, you know, and so I remember somebody theorizing that there's this, you know, this little kid there that's actually about, you know, 500 years old or that, and he makes up all these jokes and he tells them and then everybody just knows. So that's the thing is, it's just like you could tell a million times how to take the lamp around after Artik, and in 50 years no one can do it. But if somebody comes up with their own concept, it's like within a few months, it's like wildfire. All the temples do it. It's like, where did it come from? And you talk about, you can't get rid of it. No, but we've always done like that. No, this is the thing and this is the way. So that's the thing. Something that's not actually proper is so easy to establish.
Why is that?
Because, go ahead, please.
It's, yeah, it's human nature.
Mm.
Because if you wanna prove that this person is good,
mm-hmm.
you have to argue, you have to give evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say this person did this constant, immediately everybody believes, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just human psychology because we want to believe in it.
Mm.
And then speculation, like you mentioned, mm. and it's actually, this is how it works. So the truth, you have to install, you have to prove it. Yeah. But speculation, immediately people accept, because this is what we want, actually, okay. in a conditioned state.
It's the idea of wanting freedom to decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he says it can, but then the thing is in that, yes, you have your freedom, but one also has to remember, as was pointed out by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Krishna also has his freedom. He doesn't have to accept. So that becomes the difficulty, there's so much more faith in speculation than there is in, you know, authority.
Yes.
Like that. And if you do say Shastra, but Shastra here says this and that, and so it's that, or Pudam Thi and that, so therefore I'll take nothing. But if you hear some gossip, then it's got to be gospel, right?
Or the devotees will ask 10 different people the same question, and then they'll pick the answer which is most convenient.
They do that in China also?
Oh.
Because Russia, that's like, as soon as you join the temple, you're pulled over by a new bhakta, and he tells you how to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's how they get fun.
And I don't see it as much in the West, but it comes up now and again. There is one or two who do it, but I've generally seen it. I didn't think about it. I should check that out. I should probably, but it's just to watch the fun.
But also,
they have to mention the person who said the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They always have to mention, so they want to see what's going to happen, you know, like that. Then the only thing missing is like some popcorn or something while they sit back and eat. While, you know.
It's not good.
Huh?
You should never eat popcorn.
Never eat popcorn. So what do you? You don't eat something when you
sunflower
seeds. Yeah, that's
same principle.
In China, it's boiled peanuts.
Boiled peanuts. Okay, I'm just thinking, next time I go to a program with, you know, a Russian audience, I'll take sesame seeds with me, you know, with the shell, right?
Sunflower,
with the shell,
yeah,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
that's no fun.
Yeah, just spit it all over and everything. And then I'll just hand out packs, you know, as soon as the question comes. Oh, say, before I answer this question, first off, you know. They'd probably laugh like anyone.
What do you
want
to do?
Huh?
We hid it in the pockets
and then imagine the mess in the movie theater.
Yeah. No, you have to. You think that they'd be there and frisking everybody, right?
But they were open seaters.
It's like low class.
Actually, Maharaj.
Okay, the best part is you put it in your mouth and you spit them out, right?
Yes. You don't touch with your teeth.
It's like birds. It's like an art.
Yeah, I mean, you get it with your tongue and get it and just crack it like that, and then get the thing out and then separate one the thing and then
spit the shell.
Wow. Okay.
But
should we run classes during the festival or something?
Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, devotees' questions during classes, whether it's online or not, those questions are based on things that devotees have heard from someone else, and they want it to be confirmed to see if it's bogus or not. It's not their own reading and their own reflection, and they want to have, you know, please tell me the conclusion. It's, I heard this, check it out.
Yeah, check it out. You also have one thing that's there, that because the devotees have been practicing the process enough that they start to develop the good qualities, But at the same time, there might be some lag, so they end up more, they do the same, like, you know, you get on the train, when you're riding on the train, and the Hindus ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask the questions as if they're a total atheist. And you argue with them and this and that, and finally when they're satisfied, you answered all the questions. Then they suddenly turn into a nice devotee.
Yeah.
And these are the questions that people ask me, I didn't know how to answer, but they'll never tell you that. They won't say, I had some questions, people asking this, I tried to answer, I couldn't, you know, could you, and then you're in a nice way. No. They like the fireworks and yell and scream and that, and especially if it's like a 24-hour train, you know, like that. You know, they won't tell you till the next day, you know.
Yeah, because it's boring. They need something.
Yes,
some action.
Yeah, you need something to do. Yeah, so that kind of thing I find annoying. But
you know, some of the best classes when you're on a train for 24 hours, end up with a bunch of Indian businessmen and their wives.
Yeah, they're all sitting around.
They're all sitting around. And they bombard you. Which is your country?
Yeah, as long as after some point they're pleased enough to start getting out the snacks, then it's
up.
Yeah, if the snacks come out, then you know you're doing okay. And if they are, thank you, Swamiji, then they go to the next apartment and get out the snacks, then you didn't do so good.
Yeah.
Not the right country. Not the right country.
Yeah, yeah.
It
would
be a popular one.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we've also noticed that.
Maybe we should make a rule, is that, question and answers throughout the thing, anybody can ask a question, but they have to bring snacks. You know, and then they ask the question. It's one of these bombshell. What snack you brought? Oh, I brought this. Not good enough. Anyone else like that?
To follow the jiva, you need a maha.
yeah, like that. Yeah. But the difficulty comes up is that it's not looked at from the context of trying to attain pure devotion. From where you're at, what stages you need to go through to get there, that there's a process to go through. It's just that, no, if I imitate this level, I'll get that. But it doesn't work. I mean, it's just like, okay, how many, thousands and thousands of kids go into their garage and start beating on some drums or playing some music and stuff like that? Okay? How many become an actual band that the world recognizes? Right? So that's the same way. How many kids go into the garage and they fiddle around and come up with a business plan? How many of them become billionaires?
Google, Apple.
Yeah, and?
Amazon.
And?
Microsoft.
And just say we got up to four
five.
Now. Five, okay, yeah. I think Bill Gates, right?
Yes,
Microsoft.
Huh?
Microsoft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's it, So that's the thing but the point is where's that coming from? Coming from last life, it's not coming from here. So the whole point is unless you have the Sukriti, how do you get there? It's mentioned, those cowherd boys that are playing with Krishna as equals, it mentioned they must have, lifetimes of Sukriti to come to that platform. So the point is then we need to see is where are we actually at right now? When we read the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, where do we stand? When we read the second one, the third, the fourth, up to there, we get into the fifth one. We don't see the bodily this and that. And
so, Maharaj, you have on one side, the yogis who perform austerity for millions of lifetimes to qualify to be Krishna's associates in Vrindavan. And then you've got the mercy of Mahaprabhu in the Sankirtan movement, which allows you to make it in one life.
Yes.
So within this lifetime, everybody is in the thing of, you got to better get to Raga Gudabati real fast because you're getting old.
No, but the point is how long does the Shastras, how long does it say it needs to take to get to the Uttama platform?
One moment.
Yeah, and how long is a moment? Technically, how long is a moment?
It's 1/11.
Yeah, 1/11th of a second. It's also another is that you call it a nimisha, because then you can do it yourself. It's the blink of an eye. That's all it takes. So therefore, it will come when it comes. So it's not means if you want to speed up the process, it's about desire, not what you're doing. We take it that no, there is a situation in which it will happen, and there is a karma that I can perform that will happen. I don't think about the mentality. But that's how we got here. Is we leave out the mentality, which is pleasing Krishna, and just take his energies, do fabulous things in these situations, and I like that. Because in all these things, it's about themselves, not about Krishna. Is Krishna happy? If they can go, is Govardhan happy? No, but if I do this, I'll get, you know. But the point is you'll get that when Krishna is pleased. Raghunath Das, it's because he pleased Lord Chaitanya, these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you please the Lord, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So one lifetime, but you have to understand is how many lifetimes before this have we been, did it take us to, you know, how many times walking by the Harinam with your briefcase going to work did it take before one developed Shraddha? You know what I'm saying? The same guys are walking by, so it's not working that, so it's not this lifetime. You know, you don't even know how many lifetimes. Why are they on your, so why are they walking down Broadway? You know, they could have been walking down Fifth or Third, but they're walking down Broadway. Why? Because they have more Sukriti, so therefore they walk down that street. All the, how many are walking down those others? You know?
Crossing Washington Square Park where the Harinam is.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Well, 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was talking about when it used to be in Times Square and that side, but now it'll be Washington. So that's my point, is that who's walking by there? So there, and they're developing. So when you see Shraddha comes up, that means that's lifetimes of Gyata Sukriti. Mm-hmm. By the mercy of, you could say, especially the Uttamanakar like Prabhupada, they can bring someone up very, very quickly. I mean, Narad Muni's, mentioned before, we saw he's initiated, you know, animals, you know, King Cobra, you know, he's talking to him, you know. You know, talking in Sanskrit, but, you know. So the thing is, one has to understand is, no, is where are we at now? You know, so if you are one of those ducks in Regent Park, and now you're human and all that, because you took Prashad and that, and you're coming around, then that's great, but where are you right now? Take that, move forward. Because the point is the sooner you take where you are, the quicker you get there. And if we're saying, no, I'm already there, like if you right now say, oh, I'm just coming around that last corner before you come into the airport. You know, when will you be able to get on the airplane? Because you're thinking, no, I'm almost there. I just have to have my bags, and I wrestle the bags, and I just hurry up, and I get out my passport, and, you know, I'll be there. But no, you're here. And until you get there, it won't happen.
And anything would happen in between.
Yeah. You know. So that's the whole point, is that if having that desire that you want to come to that position, that's why it always says follow in the footsteps. But that means follow in the footsteps of that. We're not them. We're not Radharani. We're not Lalita. We're not Rupa Goswami. We're not the six Goswamis. We're not the previous Acharyas. So when you hear the pastime, did they mention your name? The whole pastime's unfolding. It's one of those. Unfolding, was your name in it?
Thank you.
You know, and then Rupa Manjari turned to Jose Imanis and said, please, you know, get the water for me, like that. And then Jose turned back and he said, manana, manana, like that.
Modern Cinderella.
Hmm?
Modern rendition of Cinderella.
Yeah, like that. And so we see them. But you see in all this stuff, they're imagining them, I'm doing this. That's just straight up front 100% Sajya. 100%. Not even, well, not yet. No, it's 100%. That's, the acharyas say that's how you tell the difference between proper, you know, rag bhakti and the sahajyas. Rag bhakti means you're following the footsteps of somebody. So you're thinking about their service to Radha and Krishna. If you're thinking about my service to Radha and Krishna in the pastimes, that's just sahajya. That's just, that's the way it is. That's their paditi. You know? And even though we say, be careful of all these things, you know, people have to go, people have to, oh, it's a, oh, something secret, something this, but it's not, it's an open secret. It's just like Radha and Krishna together, it's an open secret. Like that. It's an open secret, but the point is you have to be qualified. Like that. It's very straightforward. That's why we talk on these levels. As we go through, we're seeing all these different levels come up. So now this is Raghunath Das. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why then we're it's being discussed. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing how he is going on. So then we see like that. So then what does that mean? I should become very serious, you know, about giving up material attachment. That's what we should be learning. But what do we get? Oh, he's got a Govardhan Shila and a Gunja Mala. That's why he's there. What about he's given up all interest in material attachment, social standing and facility? And what about that side? And he's just dedicating that one, we're not taking. But he gets Govardhan and Gunja Mala. Oh, he knew I could get into that.
I guess it's called selective hearing.
Selective hearing, yes. Selective hearing, yeah. So we hear, you know, like, so that's the difficulty. But that there's an interest in all that, that's nice, but then use the proper methods. That there's an interest, that's good, but cultivate it in the right way, then you get the right results. So. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.